How many of you know the new year is a good time to do a self-evaluation? It's a good time to check the dipstick, if you will. Anybody know what checking the dipstick is? Right, you pull it out and you got to see what the status of the oil is in the engine. All of us need to take those times in our life, and the first of the year is a natural time for us to take a look at ourselves. For the most part, we spend our year pulling the dipstick on other people's lives. Can I get an amen? We're pretty good at checking everybody else's dipstick to see how they're doing and what needs to change and what they're not doing quite right. But do you know that we can move into hard-heartedness and deception, and we can become callous to the very Spirit of God when we spend all of our time looking for the speck in other people's eye, when all the while the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, listen up. You got some things in your own life that you need to take a look at. Paul wrote it like this by way of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He said this. He said, examine yourselves. Everybody say, examine yourself. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. And so I want to take a few minutes this morning where we can allow the Holy Spirit to help us examine our own heart, to examine our own life, to test our own self. Because if we will be open and we'll say, you're the potter and I'm the clay. And the scripture says this. It says the clay really doesn't have any business pretending like it's got a mouth, right? Talking to the potter, saying, what are you doing? You know, why are you working on this? Why are you forming this in me? What we should start off 2017 by doing is saying, potter, whatever you need to do in me, I'm going to stay on your will this year. Whatever needs to change, whatever imperfections need to go, if you need to break me down so you can build me up, I'm good for that. And so we want to take a few minutes, and I just want to mention a few things, and then I'm going to settle in for the last 25 minutes or so on one thing in particular. But God does this for us. He, in Deuteronomy, through Moses, he told the children of Israel, he said this. He said, today I've given you the choice between life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says this, oh, that you would choose life. That's what God is saying to us in 2017. I've got some good things I've set before you, but there's some other things that the enemy's prepared for you. And it's up to you to make the choice. And every moment of every hour of every day we have before us blessing and cursing, life and death. And the amount of life that we walk in while we're on this planet has everything to do with us, because Jesus has already done his part. There's 120 volts of electricity running through your walls. But the only way your phone's going to get charged up is if you plug into it. It's before you, but you got to choose it. And God hasn't made it complicated, but he has given us responsibility, because otherwise there would be no free will. So this year in 2017, we want to be a people that's not afraid to pull our dipstick and say, God, what is it in me? God, what is it in me this year that's standing between me and what it is you want to do in my life? God, what is it in me that's preventing my marriage from getting better? You know, I've got my laundry list of things my spouse needs to change, but what about me? Do you know that any relationship can get 50% better immediately? Because I'm half of it, right? So if you want things, or I want things to get better in a relationship, then I can start working on me and they can get better. And I can put the other person in the hand of God, and I can begin to believe God. But we've got to be ready and willing to be surrendered. We got to find ourselves on the altar this year. So let me just mention a couple of things. These are not in your notes that God may want to pinpoint in our life. Are we focused on Jesus? Every day, are we focused on Jesus? The scripture says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. And we check our dipstick, we examine ourselves. Is our lives primarily at the center focused on Jesus Christ? Or is it about our career? Or about our degree? Or is it about our hobby? Or is it about what I want to do? Are we focused on Jesus? That's just a good question to ask ourselves at the beginning of the year. Are we living our life seeking first the kingdom of God? Because like everything else that God invites us to do, I used to think it was a ball and chain. Everything God asks us to do, well, you know, God, I guess I have to do this too. Everything God invites us to do is for our good. He never asks us to do anything without our good being at the center of it. Because if we'll seek first the kingdom of God, how many of you know things will begin to line up? He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And listen, everything else he'll take care of. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? I do one thing and he does everything. Seek first the kingdom. Are we focused on the kingdom? Are we living a life that's focused on Jesus? Number two, are we looking forward instead of backward? Are we looking forward instead of backward? It's not a very good idea to drive down the road looking in the rearview mirror. How many of you ever found that out? The lady behind me almost found that out this morning. I don't know if she was looking in her rearview mirror. I think she was texting. But that vehicle, she almost slammed into the back of me right out here on Northwest. It looked like it had done it two or three times before. But if we're looking in the rearview mirror, how many of you know we're not going to make much progress forward? And there are some things in our lives that we need to let go of. There are some things that have happened in our past that were not fair. Anybody want to raise their hand? There are some people in our past that betrayed us. Anybody want to agree with that? There were some people in our past who did us wrong. Anybody want to raise your hand? There are some people in our past that we did wrong. There are some people that we failed, and there's some people that failed us. There's some circumstances we wish that were different, and we can't do anything about it. But what we can do is we can let go of it. Because as long as we're holding on to the past, we will never come into the future for what God has planned for us. Paul said, this one thing I do. What did he say? This one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what is ahead. Even old Samuel the prophet was sitting around crying in his tea. Maybe we'll say it like that. He was crying. Samuel was, because he had anointed Saul. God, you told me to anoint Saul. I anointed him the king. He's the first king of Israel, and he's done blown it. I'm sure what he was thinking was, everybody thinks I missed it. You know, I'm the one that anointed him king, but you told me to. And now he's made a mess of everything. And God, things are just a mess. And this is what God said to him. We finally got his attention. And he said, how long are you going to mourn over Saul? He said, fill your horn with oil and go forward. Quit looking back and turn your attention to the future. The past will hold you captive. You say, well, you don't understand what I've been through. I don't, but he does. And he's made a way out. And it's his power. Now, hard things from our past. Listen, it's like I said earlier. It takes God to get free. It takes God to get healed. But if we'll begin to look forward to our healing instead of back at our pain, then God can begin to work in our life. So we need to leave some things behind. Next, are we walking in forgiveness? Are we walking in forgiveness? Do you know what's very important, whether or not we choose to forgive other people? And we are, maybe you're not, but in Ouachita County, we are experts at making excuses for why I don't necessarily need to let that person off the hook, right? We all have good reasons why we shouldn't release forgiveness to other people. But how many of you know we're only hurting ourselves? See, forgiveness, let me say it like this. Forgiveness, the gift of God's forgiveness that he's given to us. Forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about me. God gave us forgiveness for us because he knew that if we did not release forgiveness to that person who did us wrong, if we did not release it, we would be tied to them for the rest of our life. We would be tied to that person, to that place, to that time, to that event, and it would become a prison cell in our life. And then a root would begin to grow in that prison cell, and it's called the root of bitterness. And we begin to have bitterness, and we think, well, it's not really affecting my life. It's just this one person 20 years ago, and, you know, I just haven't been able to get over it, but I'm going on with my life. No, you're not. Because when that root of bitterness is in your life, it begins to poison everything else in your life. And you may not realize it at first, but you may have only been mad at one person, but before you know it, you'll be mad at everybody. And it doesn't have anything to do with what they did. Have you ever been around somebody like that? You just said, good morning, and they about took your head off. You know, what did I do to you? It's not about you in that moment. There's a root of bitterness. There's unforgiveness down in that person's heart. They haven't been able to let that thing go. The Bible says this. Jesus told the story. You remember the story of the parable of the debtor? The king called the guy in that owed him, in our day, I think it was like $1 million. And he said, pay up or I'm going to put you in prison. And the man said, oh, forgive me. He fell down. I can't, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. There's no way I can pay this debt that I owe you. And the king had grace and he had mercy on him. And he said, I'm going to forgive you your debt and I'm going to release you and I'm going to let you go. I mean, that's a good thing. That's what God did for us, wasn't it? He forgave us a debt we could never pay. And so he let us go. And then we started walking down the street. We're whistling. Oh, I'm free. I'm free. And then I see a guy over there that owes me 10 bucks. Say, hey, man, I need, you know, hey, what's up, Fred? Come on over here. Hey, you remember that 10 bucks you borrowed for me to get some gas? I really need it right now. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I don't have it right now. That's the story. You know the story. He's like, man, I don't have it. Would you please let me off the hook or give me some time? He's like, no. Mm-mm, you either pay up or I'm going to throw you in jail. That's what the story was, right? And so he couldn't pay up, so he threw him in jail. And the old king got word of what had happened. And he got very angry and upset, didn't he? And he said, bring him in. And he brought him in and he said, I forgave you a debt you could never pay, but you weren't willing to forgive this small thing. See, whenever we're harboring unforgiveness, it's because we're not seeing it in the right perspective. Because no matter what anyone has done to us, when we put it up against what we owed God for our life of sin, see, it begins to pale in comparison. We have no right. And so he said this. He said, because you chose not to forgive, then I'm going to turn you over to the tormentors and you are going to be in prison. Now, listen, this is not what God's not saying. I'm going to torment you and I'm going to lock you up. What he's saying is when you choose to hold on to unforgiveness in your life, it torments your life. And it puts you in a place of torment and pain, and it imprisons your life. So when Peter said, Jesus, how many times do I got to forgive this guy over here? Seven times. He was thinking he was being like, you know, there was a halo over his head when he said that. Forgive him seven times. Jesus said 70 times seven in one day. That's how many times you got to forgive. 490 times. What Jesus was saying was there is no limit. My grace is sufficient for you. See, some of us are held captive. Some of us are in torment. And what we need to do is we need to ask the Holy Spirit, is there someone or is there something from my past? Is there some circumstance? Maybe it's even God that we're mad at and we're not willing to own it. But we have people or things in our life that we have not been willing to release forgiveness. And because of that, it's been tormenting us in a lot of different ways. How many of you want to get free of torment? How many of you want to get released from that past of unforgiveness? God is able to help us do that. And here's the thing about forgiveness. I love talking about forgiveness because it's a wonderful thing. It sets us free. And when you say, I forgive that person, what you're not saying is, it's okay what you did to me. You're not saying that. And you're not saying that you're off the hook. You're just saying you're off of my hook. And I'm putting you on God's hook and I'm going on. And so forgiveness is a key that unlocks the torment in my life and lets me go forward. So we need to ask the Lord at the beginning of this year, is there any forgiveness that I need to extend? And the only way that we can forgive people that have done us wrong, how many of you know the Bible calls love a fruit of the Spirit? Okay, love is not natural. Forgiveness is not natural. We can't do it without the power and the Spirit of God. Amen? All right, next, are we living a surrendered life? Jesus said this. He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. Are we living for ourselves or are we living for God? We just need to ask ourselves, are we living a surrendered life? God, is there anything in my life, God, that needs to be moved so that you can have all of me? Is that our prayer on a daily basis? Not my will, but thy will be done. And then are we passionately pursuing the secret place? Are we passionately pursuing the secret place? All throughout Jesus' life, you read what he did. It says all the time, it says this. It says he pulled away and he went and found a secret place to meet with his Father. Psalms 91 is a wonderful chapter, isn't it? Of all of the protection and the provision and the goodness of God in our lives. But it starts off by saying this. It says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, will say of the Lord, he's our refuge and our fortress, our God, and him will we trust. Surely he'll deliver us from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence, right? With long life, I'll satisfy him and show him my salvation. But what does it all go back to? That intimate, real relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we passionately pursuing a relationship with God? Not jumping hoops and hurdles and keeping all the rules and regulations that leads to death. But are we pursuing an intimacy with the Father? A real relationship with Jesus Christ. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit before we make any decision in our life. How many of you know life goes a whole lot better when we walk with Jesus? And then lastly, and this is where I want to spend the rest of my time on this morning, is this. Are we listening for His voice? Are we listening for His voice? None of these other things can we even find out about ourselves unless the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Did you know that? The scripture says no one can come to the Father unless I first draw Him. It takes the Holy Spirit drawing us. Anything I need to see in my life that needs to change, it's going to take God revealing it to me. If I'm deceived in any area of my life, if there's something in my life that everybody else can see in me and I can't see in myself, has anybody ever tried to tell you something was wrong with you? You know what I'm saying? Has anybody ever tried to tell you that you had an issue in your life and you didn't believe them for the life of you? Anybody ever done that? Okay. You just didn't see it. You looked in the mirror and you could not see it about yourself. But have you ever been in a place of surrender where you allowed the Holy Spirit to speak into your life? And how many of you know He can take the scales off? And He can show us things about ourselves that we never, ever knew. I've had that happen so many times. So we need to hear the voice of God. And so I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about having a heart that hears God. Beginning 2017 with a heart that hears God. We need to hear the voice of God. And so I'm going to quickly tell you three things that we need to understand about having a heart that hears God. Having a heart that hears God. Number one is this. It's God's nature to speak to His children. It's God's nature to speak to His children. There are two myths that have been around since time began. And these are the two myths. Number one, God used to speak, but He doesn't speak anymore. And the other myth is this, is that God only speaks to certain people. He only speaks to Pastor Jerry, or He only speaks to the Pope, or He only speaks to people that are doing it all right all the time. See, those are lies from the enemy that try to keep us from hearing the voice of God. It's God's nature, the Father's nature, to speak to His children. Hebrews 1:1-2 says it like this. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, and has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ. See, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He was talking yesterday, He's already assured us that He's still talking today. And He's not talking just to certain people. He's talking to all of us that belong to Him. It's not based on our performance. It's based upon His grace. See, God is all powerful, and He is righteous, and He is holy, and He is King of kings, and He's majestic, and He's magnificent, and He is just, but He is also our Daddy God. He is our Abba Father. And if the only perspective you have of God is that He sits up in heaven with a big stick waiting on you to mess up so He can knock you down, then you have a wrong perspective of God. Jesus came to the earth primarily, one of His primary reasons He came, in addition to dying on the cross for our sins, was He said, I came to reveal to you the character of the Father. The Father. They had never called God Father up until that point. He is our Father. And the scripture says this, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Meaning this, that if we're children of God, then God is going to speak to us and His voice is going to lead us in this life. We don't have to depend upon anyone else. We don't have to look to anyone else. We have the Father who has given us His Spirit to speak to us in life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Do you understand that God has good plans for your life? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good. Everybody say, God's got good plans for me in 2017. And if you listen just a minute, you're going to hear the devil talk a little bit. Yeah, they're not as good as Joe's over there, though, are they? Or they're probably not going to come to pass because you just ain't good enough. Or you're going to mess it up. How many know we're really good at hearing the enemy's voice? But we got to train ourselves to hear the Father's voice. He has good plans for us. And let me say it like this. He's a good Father. Everybody say, He's a good Father. He's a good father. Do you know him as father? He's a good father. Maybe you didn't have a good father on this earth. Maybe you didn't have a father. But what he wants to show you and teach you is that he is a perfect heavenly father. Now, what father? Right now, I'm working with my son. We're trying to get things figured out about going off to college. And so we're working through plans and monies and all these kinds of things. And I'm working on plans. But what kind of father would I be if I had all these good plans for my son, but I didn't ever tell him about it? Is that a good father? If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Father up in heaven, is the perfect father, and he says he has good plans for us to give us a future and to give us a hope. What are plans for? It's to get you from point A to point B. Why do you need house plans? It's because eventually you want to live in that beautiful house. But the only way you're going to get there is if you know the plans. He's a good father who has good plans, and it's his joy to communicate those plans to us. The father's nature is to speak to his children. He wants to speak to us. And let me just say this too. We may not do it right all the time, but he does it right all the time. He's not a father that just speaks to his children when they're doing everything right. What kind of father would I be that if my son took the garbage out and he cleaned his room and made his bed and he did all those things, I would sit down and have a conversation with him. But if he forgot to take the garbage out, I was done with him. But many of us feel that way about God, our relationship with God, that if we're not doing everything just right, if we've made a mistake, if we've messed it up, if we're not where we're supposed to be, then we feel like that we've got to work our way back in his good graces. Do you know that when my children mess up, is I like to talk to them even more during that time, right? Because I want to help them get things worked out in their life. And our perfect Father in heaven, if we're far from God, if we've messed things up, or if we're in a mess, how many of you know he wants us to come boldly before the throne of grace so that we can find mercy and grace to help in our time of need? And so he's a good father who loves to speak to us at all times, not just in the good times. All throughout Scripture, you can see from the beginning of the book in the garden to the end of the book in Revelation, where he takes us back home with him. You can see that it's the Father's nature to speak to his children. I don't have time to go through that part very much. In Malachi 3:6, it says this, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Isn't that good? When everything else around us is on shaky ground, one thing we can be sure of is that God does not change. He is unchanging. Point number two. Not only is it the nature of God to speak to his children, point number two, we need to hear God's voice. We need to hear God's voice. Jesus said it like this. This is a good time to hear this right at the beginning of the fast. You can't live by pizza alone. Bread, that's a form of bread, right? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus said this, if you don't hear God, you're not going to live. You can't survive. You'll begin to die. Your marriage will begin to die. Your finances will begin to die. Your destiny will begin to die. You can't live by bread alone. To live, you've got to have the very voice of God active in your life. Do you remember when the children of Israel would go out every morning when God said, go out and I'm going to rain manna down from heaven in the wilderness. And he gave them fresh bread every morning. And he said this, he said, don't gather it up and store it in there because it ain't going to be good tomorrow. What he was trying to show them was this, is you need to be near me. You need to hear from me. You can't exist apart from me. You need to be in touch with me every single day of your life. Well, I had a good word in January of 2016. We need a God word in 2017. We need to hear from God. If we don't hear a word from the Lord today, this year, for me and for my house, how many of you know that death will begin to creep in? We need to hear it. Jesus said that we can't live without the word of God. There are so many voices that speak into our life, and we're so in tune with so many of those voices, particularly if those voices agree with our negativity or our criticism or our judgmentalism, right? We like to, it's easy for us to connect with people that are speaking things that we feel, but how many of you know we need to connect with people that speak truth? We need people that will love us enough to look at us and say that, you know what, that thinking isn't right. That don't line up with the word of God. We need truth. There are so many voices out there, and the enemy has a loud mouth. He's a loud mouth. And he, have you ever met somebody that just talks all the time? Talks all the time. I met a sweet sister last year sometime for the first time, and we sit down to talk. And this was the record for 2 hours and 10 minutes. I never said a word. I learned a lot. And that's good. But my point is this, is there's many voices out there, and the devil is like that. He's going to be speaking all the time. He's going to be speaking all the time. But what we have to do is we have to learn to turn off the wrong voices in our life. And we got to learn to tune in to the voice of God. We need to hear God's voice. Psalms 1 says this, blessed is the man or the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or the voice of the ungodly, right? The counsel, their advice, their ways, what they have to say, what the enemy has to say, what ungodly people have to say. Blessed is the man who don't listen to those things. But it says this, but you are blessed if you delight in the Lord and in the law of the Lord. And if you stay in the word of God day and night, if we do that, then the scripture says that we will have life. We will be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water that brings forth fruit in its season. It says everything we do will prosper if we have the word of the Lord. There are areas of your life and there are areas of my life today that are dead because we don't have God's word in that area of our life. Let me say that again. Areas of our life that are not living and fruitful, it's because I don't have the word of the Lord in that area of my life. If I had the word of the Lord, it brings life. And we need the word of the Lord. As you survey, as you check your dipstick, as you survey the land of your life, the lay of your land this year, at the beginning of this year, and you can identify areas of your life that are dead or dying or are unfruitful, those are areas of your life that need to go in your journal and you say, God, I've got to have a word from you. God, I have to hear your voice in this situation in my life. God, I have to hear from you. And I know you'll speak to me. You don't have to speak it through the prophet. You don't have to speak it through the pastor. You don't have to speak it through the televangelist. You will speak to me because you're the shepherd and I'm the sheep. I hear your voice. I know your voice. And I'm going to follow your voice. I'm not going to listen to the stranger's voice. I need your voice. How many of you know God has a word for you? Listen. This is where it starts. He went to great lengths to put his truth in our hands. And this is where it starts. But this is called the Logos Word of God. This is the written Word of God. This is the written Word of God. And in this word right here are all of the character of God, the promises of God. They're all in here. Like this, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. When you get that past due bill in the mail and you look at it, if you know his word and you've hidden it in your heart and you can listen to his voice instead of hearing the stranger's voice that says this, they're going to cut off your lights. You don't have a chance. What are you going to do? Call your friend, self-pity, cry and all those things. What you do is all those voices are trying to speak to you. And what they do is they steal any faith that you would have in your life. But if we know the word of God, the Logos word of God, we can go to the book of Philippians and we can say that God, you said that you will supply all my needs according to not my job, not according to my circumstances, not according to the economy, but according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Okay, so that is a word from the Lord. But can I tell you that God wants to even give you more than that? That's called a Logos word from God. He wants to give you a Rhema word from God. See, a rhema word from God is when it's a quickened word. It is a specific word to you. It's not that just I know God is going to provide for my needs, but it's when I get on my knees and I'm connected to him and I have ears that can hear. This is kind of funny, but I used to pray this. I really did used to pray this. God, give me Mickey Mouse ears in the spirit, big ears, right? So that I can hear you better. And we can hear God, then what God will do is God will begin to give us specific direction for our lives. Not only that he's going to supply our needs, but you know what? He'll begin to tell us what we need to do or where we need to go or how it's going to be done. Do you believe that God will do that? We need to hear the voice of God. Let me quickly give you four reasons why we need. And this is not an exhaustive list, but this is a starting point. Letter A is this. It provides us with direction. We need to hear the voice of God because it provides us with direction. Anytime we're at a crossroads in our life, it's not what the counselor thinks. It's not what the stars say. It's not what we think. It's what God says. Anytime we go to make a decision, anytime we don't know what to do, we should always first and foremost turn to God and say, God, I need to hear from you. We need the voice of God because it gives us direction. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. You can just jot down the reference. This is a great scripture. It says this. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. What a promise from God. He said that if we will tune our ear to him, no matter what crossroads we find ourselves in, we can turn to him and the Spirit of God will be there with us. And he will speak to us and he'll tell us what we need to do and where we need to go. Secondly, or letter B, it provides us with protection. It provides us with protection. How many of you know that God wants to warn us ahead of time of some things so that... Wouldn't you rather be able to tell your child to drive slow like I did last night in the fog, in the rain, and be careful? It's better to do that and for them to be able to hear that and abide by that than to have to hear how to learn how to walk again, right, and go through that whole process. There are pitfalls and there are snares and there are traps and there are schemes and there are plots from the enemy for all of our lives. The Bible says that Satan roams about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do not be deceived to think that you don't have a real enemy. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. And that's not a downer. It's just a waker-upper, right? But if we will listen to the voice of the Lord, how many of you know we can hear from God and we can avoid the plans of the enemy? We can hear from God and instead of going down this road, we can go down this road. This road led to death and cursing. This road leads to life and blessing. We need to hear the voice of God. Why would I not consider the voice of God? But when it brings direction and it brings protection, let her see real quickly because I got to get ready to close this. Let me go back and read this verse in the Message Bible, Proverbs 3:6. Scripture you're very familiar with. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, he'll direct your paths. In the Message Bible, it says it like this. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everybody say everything. Listen for God's voice some of the time, just on the big decisions. No. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Let her see. It reveals the plans that God has for us. Remember when the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have the Messiah. You're going to bear a son. He's going to call his name Jesus. And Mary's like, what? And she said, how can this thing be? Right? And not only did he reveal that he had a plan, he revealed how he was going to unfold the plan. So many times in our life, we're anxious and we're fretting and we're worried over things. And all the while, God's saying, just come here. I have some things that I want to share with you. It reveals the plans of God. And letter D, this is an important one. It produces faith in our hearts. We need the voice of God. We need to hear from God. We need his word and we need his spirit active in our life because it produces faith in our heart. The scripture says this. Faith comes by, I want everybody to repeat this. Faith comes by and hearing by the, why do you watch Christian TV? Because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. Well, God doesn't really care if I listen to country and Western music on my way to and from work. Why do you listen to worship music? Because faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. I'm not coming against any style of music, but my point is this. It's not in our lives how close to the edge do we want to be without falling off. It's how bad do I want to live a victorious, overcoming, faith-filled, miraculous life? Because if we do, we need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and it will be done. All of us in this room have mountains in our life we wish would move. And God said, I've done my part. The way that thing's going to move is when you speak to it in faith, and it's going to move. But we want to watch the whole series of whatever. I don't know. Get on my. We're going to watch all the bowl games, but we ain't going to read the word. Faith doesn't come by hearing the announcers call the football game. Especially if you're a Razorback fan. No, I'll leave that one alone. Which I am. Faith comes by, y'all repeat to me, faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. But let me make this statement. The word of the Lord always precedes the miraculous in our lives. The word of the Lord always precedes the miraculous in our lives. If there's going to be a miraculous move, first is going to come a word. Because that word brings faith. It brings faith. It brings faith. It brings faith. The word of the Lord brings faith. The quickened word of God, the rhema word of God, spoken by the Spirit of God, quickened to us. God wants to give you a word. Let me just tell you this. You need to hear the word of the Lord for your life in 2017. You need the word of God in your life more than you need anything else in your life in 2017. If you have the word of the Lord, everything else is going to be all right. But without the word of the Lord, we are without faith. And without faith, nothing's going to change. And things are going to get worse. Remember Paul when he was on that ship? He was already in chains. And he was on his way to see Caesar in Rome. And remember he was on that ship and it was a bad day. Days, weeks. He got caught up in a storm. And they threw everything overboard. You got areas of your life you've done thrown everything overboard? And it says that neither sun nor stars had been seen. I think it said for 13 days. I think is what it said. They were in that kind of a storm. No sun, no stars. They hadn't ate. All they had done was try to keep that boat afloat. And Paul pops up on the deck and calls everybody into a huddle. And they're like, what are you doing? We're bailing water. We're doing everything we can just to survive. And he had a big old smile on his face. And he said, listen, I got something to tell you. It's good news. You know when they thought he was crazy? He said, look, don't worry about it. Everybody's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. He said, because you're with me, you're going to be all right. He said, because this night there stood by me an angel of the Lord. And that angel spoke a word to me. See, the only difference between him today and yesterday was he had a word from God. His storm had not changed. His circumstances had not changed. The only thing that had changed was he had gotten a word from God. And he said, an angel of the Lord stood by me of whose I am and who I serve. And he told me that not one of the people on this boat are going to perish, but we're going to all make it. He said, let's get something to eat. I don't know what your storm looks like. I don't know what your life looks like. I don't know how much fear and anxiety or maybe depression or oppression or bondage you've been in. But I want to tell you this. All it takes is one rhema, one quicken, one life-giving word from God. And faith will rush into your heart. And you will see it all differently. Your finances, your family, your future. It's like God... He said all hope was gone that we would be saved. That's what they said. All hope was gone, including Paul. All hope was gone. Do you have areas of your life that all hope is gone? Can I tell you that you're in good company? You're in good company with Paul because he said all hope was gone. Any hopeless situation that you have in your life, the reason we're hopeless is because we don't have God's word on that situation. If we will get his word, if we will get his word, if we will get his word, if we will get his word. My last point, I don't really have time to get into it, but the last one is this. Not only do we need to hear it, but we can hear it. Point number three is we can hear God's voice. As you leave here today, I want you to know this. If you're a believer, if you've given your life to the Lord, I want you to know this. You can hear God. You have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And He will speak to you. He will speak life-giving words. He will speak affirming words. He will speak encouraging words. He will speak words of faith and words of power and words of breakthrough to you if you will give Him the opportunity. You can hear the voice of God. You can hear the voice of God. And we don't have time to get into it this morning, but he can bring a word to you in a lot of different ways. But what he's looking for is a heart that is open and a heart that is seeking, that says, God, I want to hear from you. The beginning of 2017, we've got to find ourselves right here. In our car, at home, in church. If we want a word from God, we got to find ourselves on the altar. Brother Jerry says it like this. I like the way he says it. He says, God understands altar language. It's just a meeting place with God. I can meet with God driving down the road. I can meet with God in the break room at work. Nobody else even knows I have, would have to know I'm doing it. But my heart is turned towards God. God, I need a word. God, I need a word. And I know you're a good father. If I ask for bread, you're not going to give me a stone. If I ask for fish, you're not going to give me a snake. If I ask for a word because I need direction, God, if I ask for word because I need your provision, if I ask for a word, God, because I just don't know what to do, God, you're going to be faithful. And you're going to speak to me. You ever been in a service and your heart was turned towards the Lord and you leave that service and somebody said, man, wasn't that a good message? And they begin to tell you what they had heard. And you're like, man, I didn't hear anything like that. This is what God spoke to me. This is what he quickened to me. This is what he brought up in my spirit. How many of you know, if you will turn your heart to the Lord, you can hear the voice of God. You can hear the voice of God. Two things you need to leave here today with is, you must have it and you can have it. You must have the voice of God, and you can hear the voice of God. My sheep recognize my voice. And if you want to fill these three boxes in, if you're one of those people that has to fill, or you are a little OCD, you're like, he didn't give us the last three. I've had people text me, chase me down. You didn't give me the last line. Here's the three. Three things that can help enable you to hear from God. Real quickly are these. Number, letter A down there is proximity. Closeness. Go read 1 Samuel chapter 3 about Samuel learning to hear the voice of God. Closeness. Listen, if you want to talk to your spouse in the house, it's better to get in the same room with them than it is to be on the other end of the house. It's hard to talk to somebody when you're far away from them. It's a real simple principle. When Samuel began to hear the voice of God, he was in the temple. He was in the temple. He was in the house of God. He was where the presence of God was. We need to get in the Word. We need to get into the secret place. We need to get around other believers. We need to get in the house of God. We need to get into worship music. We need to get into these places that where the presence of God is. Because if you're close to him, it's a whole lot easier to hear him. The second thing is priority. Where was Samuel when God started speaking to him? In one of my favorite places, in bed. Right? That was supposed to be a joke. God began to call him in the middle of the night. In order to hear God speak to him, he had to make the voice of God a priority. You know, he could have said, you know what, God, I'm good. Let's just resume this conversation in the morning. But what Eli taught him was this, is that when the Spirit of God wants to speak to you, you make God the priority. You just say this to God, God, here I am, your servant is listening. Here I am, your servant is listening. God, speak to me. I make you the highest priority in my life. I'm turning off a lot of other things in my life because you're the highest priority. So proximity and priority, and the last thing is this, permission. And that was that. God, speak to me. If we could, let's just stand to our feet.